Fauci, the political scientist, rolls on down the road, John Rappaport. August 13, 2021. For the past year, I've been documenting Fauci's serial lies and self-contradictions. Cherry-picking is also one of his skills. On August 8, he appeared on Meet the Press with the remarkably clueless Chuck Todd. Fauci warned of a COVID super-spreader event, the annual Sturgis, South Dakota, biker rally. Fauci: I'm very concerned we're going to see another COVID surge related to that rally. To me, it's understandable that people want to do the kind of things they want to do. They want their freedom to do that, but there comes a time when you're dealing with a public health crisis that could involve you, your family, and everyone else. So let's follow Dr. Death's logic and mention other super spreader events he neglected to highlight because he's a political scientist, which is no scientist at all, and he always remembers who his masters are. 1. The immigration crisis at the southern border. Huge numbers of untested and unvaccinated immigrants are coming across into the U.S. from all over the world, and they're then transported to many different spots around the country. Perfect for transmitting a virus. 2. The George Floyd protests and riots in more than 100 U.S. cities. No masks, no distancing. Sensational super spreaders. 3. Sanctuary cities, which pack in and protect untested, unvaccinated, unmasked immigrants. Terrific places for the virus and its spread. 4. The recent Obama birthday bash, herding together several hundred unmasked and non-distancing celebs. 5. The Lollapalooza concert held in Grant Park in Chicago. Did Chucky Todd ask about these situations? No. Did Fauci mention them? No. To have done so would have violated rules of political science. And rules about race. When Fauci insists on following the science, he means political science. If you took a poli-sci course in college, you know there was nothing scientific about it. Of course, the whole pandemic is fiction, starting with the non-existent virus, as I've been proving for the past year in over 300 articles. But I also venture into the insane world where people are quite sure the pandemic is real, in order to point out how biased and irrational they are inside their own fantasies. Fauci writes and speaks fiction every day. He crawled and slimed his way up the bureaucratic ladder of the U.S. public health establishment, and now occupies the post of central federal mouthpiece. Once you falsely assume there is a virus, and falsely assume it spreads rapidly, and you take aim at irresponsible violators, you need to be an equal opportunity accuser. But this puts you in an uncomfortable political position. Who shall I accuse? Who shall I ignore? What interviews should I agree to and which should I shun? Which favored groups who are spreading the virus should I pretend to forget? How can I protect my political status? Who can I scapegoat? How do I keep shining Bill Gates' shoes? If I tell one lie on Monday and contradict that lie with another lie on Tuesday, how can I seem to keep my story straight? What do I do if I tell one lie while the CDC is telling an opposing lie? Suppose the whole political COVID fantasy bubble in which I operate starts collapsing around me? What do I do? Suppose so many people are keeling over from the vaccine I'm promoting that the public is becoming aware I'm fronting for the destruction of human life? Fauci works on his narrative script every day. He makes changes. He tells new lies. He tap dances around contradictions. He keeps polishing his image as the scientist. Which leads to, Fauci, a conversation in hell. Anthony Fauci steps off a small boat floating in a river at the bottom of a great cavern. A lamp cuts into the darkness and illuminates a small table and two chairs. Fauci walks to the table and sits down. He is joined by his old mentor, whose name is unknown. It's been a long time, Anthony. Remember me? Of course. But why am I here? You need a refresher, Anthony. You've been wobbling badly. Apparently you've forgotten our first lesson. I was in medical school then. That's when we promised you significant rewards if you performed well for us. That day, I told you, you need to lie with consistency. Yes, sir. And I've obeyed your order. No, you haven't. You've cooked a goose and a cake in the same pan. You've said it was raining and not raining. You've worn only a jock strap and spread sunscreen on your body in the Arctic, and you bundled up at the equator. You're a mess. I didn't mean to be a mess. I'm not interested in excuses. I'm going to straighten you out. I want you to pay close attention. Otherwise, you go into the lake of fire. I'm very sorry, sir. You said masks were useless. Later you said people should wear two. You admitted the vaccine was experimental, implying that people were guinea pigs. Then you said the vaccine was absolutely safe and effective. You said asymptomatic people never drive an epidemic by transmitting a virus. Then you said millions of asymptomatic people who merely tested positive were a major source of transmission. You said running the PCR at 35 cycles or higher yielded meaningless results. but labs all over the world are running the test at 40 cycles. You've turned into a buffoon. A clown. I've made a few mistakes. I'll correct them. It's too late. The cat is out of the bag. Then what can I do? Ignore your past contradictions. As if they never happened. You're a matinee idol to millions of soccer moms. They're bubble brains. They can't think their way out of a wet paper bag. Climb back on the straight and narrow. Claim the test is very accurate, the case and death numbers are alarming, more lockdowns will be necessary, new mutations of the virus are here, and people must take the vaccine. And that's all. Don't try to explain things. That's when you screw the pooch. You're not a medical genius, Anthony. You're our agent. Just do your job. But I love explaining things. And that's your flaw. I wish we had spotted it sooner. We would have used someone else. Redfield or even Burks. Redfield? That 2-bit. But 2-bit is good in this situation, Anthony. 2-bit works. I have theatrical qualities. Yes, you do. For low-budget Hollywood B-movies. Cary Grant you're not. But Bill told me. Forget about Bill Gates. I'll be talking to him soon. He thinks he has to throw money at every influencer in the world. His ego is out of control. He's a nasty little poison pastry. Anthony, listen to me. You're not doing Inherit the Wind or Hamlet. Okay, alright. But I'm disappointed. Now let me remind you of the truth, so you can make a clear distinction between it and what you're doing. Perhaps that'll give you much needed clarity. Viruses are basically fictions. Nobody isolates them. When technicians perform genetic sequencing, they're cobbling together strips of data and using computer programs to smooth out the wrinkles and the gaps. Fairy tales. There is no pandemic. The people who are dying from traditional lung infections and pollution and toxic vaccine campaigns and pesticides and medical drugs, and all this is relabeled COVID. The virologists in their labs are clueless. They're true believers. Little egos depositing paychecks and publishing papers and angling for promotions. Understand? Yes. But listen, a friend of mine is developing a screenplay about the life of Albert Schweitzer. His clinic in Africa. Saving lives. Great humanitarian. The Disney studio and I have been in talks. Don't you think I could play Schweitzer? Anthony, you're a small-timer on cop shows. You're running a protection racket forcing shop owners to come up with cash every week or else. That's your level, Anthony. I feel depressed. I'll stick to the COVID script. But at very least, I'd like to win the Nobel for Medicine. Awards are based on performance. Are you the devil? Don't make me laugh. I'm a bureaucrat in the chain of command. You have zero chance of ever speaking with the devil. He gives orders to the people who give 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 orders to the people who operate Twitter and Facebook. Does the devil ever watch me work? Don't be silly. With due respect, sir, I feel like the victim of blackmail. Try to imagine how little concern I have about your feelings. And blackmail occurs when the participant is unwilling. You signed up for this job. You were eager. I'm important. And there we have it. Vanity. Of all the sins, it has the most tangles. One tries to escape its consequences by asserting greater vanity. I don't understand. No, you wouldn't. But unless you somehow come to your senses, and soon, you'll pay the price. I object to this whole conversation. Little man, you have no standing to object in our court. As presently configured, you're an asset, a disposable piece of property. I wasn't aware I was involved in a legal proceeding. In this domain, everything is a legal proceeding. That's why they call it hell. I'm Anthony Fauci. Can you feel the heat? You're coming closer to the burning lake. Go back to your life. You have one more chance. And if you ever show up at a baseball game again without a mask, we'll give you a stroke. What? Joe Biden had two brain aneurysms in 1988. You see how he turned out. Do you want to be a Biden? No, sir. Absolutely not. I'm sorry. Then mend your ways, Anthony. I think I need to see a psychiatrist. My secretary will be in touch. We have a list of solid professionals. I'm going up and down. Maybe I'm bipolar. Anthony, lean closer. There are no defining lab tests for any so-called mental disorder. You're just a moral coward. Why do you think we chose you? Because I'm photogenic? Hillary Clinton told me I'm handsome. Have you taken a good close look at the specimen she's married to? Why am I such a big shot in my life and such a disappointment to you here? I'm not used to being treated this way. I'm the head of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases and the chief medical advisor to the president. I've advised every president since Ronald Reagan. The New Yorker and the New York Times have described me as one of the most trusted medical figures in the United States. I've developed therapies for polyarteritis nodosa, granulomatosis with polyangiitis, and lymphomatoid granulomatosis. You're quoting your Wikipedia page. I've memorized it. Anthony, people look at your puffed up reputation. I look at you. It's not fair. Really? That's what you're going with? Fair? Think of us as a production studio, Anthony. We took you on. Granted, we gave you a significant role. But when an actor can't keep his line straight, when he wanders off script, when he endangers the whole project, we enact harsh penalties. All due respect, sir, you want me in my role. You need me in my role. That's the truth. You can't handle the truth. I'm bigger than you are. This interview is over, Anthony. I'll write my report and forward it to my supervisor. A piece of advice, when you go to sleep at night, make sure you're wearing asbestos pajamas. Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn. Go ahead, make my day. Suddenly, Fauci finds himself sitting in a police station. A grim cop is hovering over him. Okay, Fauci, your story checks out. You were out of town the day of the murder. You're free to go. Get the hell out of here. By the way, one of those little stores your boys collect protection money from? The owner couldn't pay up. He just committed suicide. Left his wife without a husband and his kids without a father. The DA is looking into it. In a daze, Fauci stumbles to the exit and opens the door. It's raining outside. He looks down. He's about to step into a puddle. He scrutinizes it for any signs of fire. He hears a howl. It sounds like a lone animal baying in the forest. The howl is coming from his own mouth. People in the street look at him. Don't worry, he says quickly. I'm Dr. Fauci. Get tested. Take the vaccine. It's perfectly safe. Wear two masks. The link to this article posted on John's blog is here. Follow John on Gab at John Rappaport.